Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I did have a moment today that cost me sleep. And that's my first reaction. Screw the Jets. That's my first reaction. Because I had something to do this morning, and I didn't get to sleep until a little bit later. And I was I was a little paranoid about sleeping through the bus stop, even though I set the alarm. I don't know. I was just a little paranoid. So I woke up, rolled over to check the time, and saw that the New York Jets had fired their head coach, Robert Saleh. And I couldn't go back to sleep because it totally took me off guard. It completely caught me off guard. And I know it had gotten ugly, right? And we all know he was Woody Johnson and his, you know, working for the government in London and that performance against Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings the week before, against the Denver Broncos after what was and what we hope not to be the one shining moment of this season against New England, following it up with these two losses and the way the offense played and the noise around it. As ugly as all that was, I did not expect them to do this. And here's why. Because as much as it's, I suppose, never a bad time to get rid of an inept head coach, and I started the year talking about how I don't know if Robert Saleh had ever been given a real shake, a real fair shake, to prove whether he is a good head coach or not. I thought the quarterback situation he was given, then the injury nature of last year with Aaron Rodgers throws the team into a tailspin. I just wasn't sure if he was ever given a real opportunity to prove he can be a good head coach. And I don't know if five games in is fair, but in those five games, all he did was help make me think he was never going to prove he's a good head coach. In fact, I feel like now I'm fairly confident he's not a good head coach. So I don't know if there's ever a bad time to fire a bad head coach. And clearly, I will say, this proves that the Jets mean business about this year, have high expectations, and are fearful of squandering it. But my initial thought and my initial feeling with all of this and what I thought I would feel if it happened, and I did feel it when it happened, is that this just proves to me that this team is a freaking joke. And all of my thoughts that this they could rise above, and Aaron Rodgers, and I mentioned this a bunch, running out of the tunnel last year on 9/11 with the American flag and the spotlight was symbolic of almost him carrying the Jets into a new genre, a new era of Jets football. And instead, here we are. They are the most dysfunctional franchise in the sport, without question. And I honestly don't know if the benefit of it is worth the idea of proving without a shadow of a doubt how dysfunctional they are. Because yes, the team was ill-prepared, or at least seemed to be, every week. And some of the comments coming out from the players, and ultimately if he lost the room and you feel this is a must-win year, then this is something you have to do. But although he was the head coach, and I understand he had his fingerprints on everything, and everything ultimately falls at his feet, we know the level of involvement he has with the offense. And it's not the defense. And although some defensive players had some things to say after the game, the defense played really well in London against Minnesota. And the defense didn't stop fighting. The defense didn't give up. Like we have seen at different games with Zach Wilson. The defense this year, and the defense specifically in this final game that was Robert Saleh's last game as head coach of the New York Jets, they fought to the bitter end and gave that team an opportunity till the last minute to go and try and win a game. They fought and they clawed and they didn't give up on their defensive coach. And despite Ulbrich being the new head coach and being the defensive coordinator, that team was led by Robert Saleh on defense. They didn't give up on him, even if they're frustrated with him. They didn't give up on him. And that alone does not constitute a good head coach. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is I don't know what this improves if you do not change the offensive coordinator. And I don't know if we're into believing in rumors. There's been so many speculations, whether it was the flag on Robert Saleh's sleeve that could somehow be involved in this, which I think is patently ridiculous, but that's been brought up as a story. Whether or not he was escorted from the building by security has been reported and then shot down. But there's the other report that he held a meeting, or at least was his inclination, whether he actually held the meeting and told his coaches, or it was just his intention before being fired. But there is a report that he had a meeting, told the offensive room that Hackett was being demoted, not fired, but he was no longer going to be doing the play calling, and it would be up to him if he wanted to stay on the staff. And if that's true, and then later that day, he was dismissed of his duties, it is very difficult not to draw the obvious line of Aaron Rodgers didn't like that the head coach, who clearly he had a problem with, and I'll take the L on this one too, because Aaron Rodgers has his fingerprints on everything, much like the head coach, much like the owner. I've compared them all. Like I feel Douglas may be slightly above, but Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers were on the same page. Aaron Rodgers, or even obviously, on higher terms. But I did not think that the relationship between the two men was as bad as perceived. And I did not put much stock into one display of what seemed to be displeasure when the head coach went in for a hug and Rodgers pushed them away. Like, I didn't perceive that to be some sort of obvious sign that they are on the outs. I know Boomer did, and I know he probably would make statements like that without having some sort of understanding further than just what we saw on television, but I thought it was probably a little overblown. And clearly it was not, because there is no way, I still firmly believe this, whether or not Aaron Rodgers was the cause of this, whether or not Aaron Rodgers, whether you believe that story, that Aaron Rodgers didn't like the idea of his guy, Nathaniel Hackett, being taken out of power, and so he went and made sure the guy who wanted to do it got taken out of power. I mean, that's plausible enough for me. I do believe that's the standing that this quarterback has with the owner. I don't know if that's true or not, but there is no way this decision's being made without at least the okay of Aaron Rodgers. I find it very hard to believe. But the bottom line is, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, and clearly I put the most blame at his feet. This offense has been terrible. It's his offense. It's him and Hackett's offense. I understand the head coach is responsible for all of it, but we know what's going on here. He's not designing the offense. He might determine when they go for it on fourth down or, you know, hey, we're having success running the football. Let's stick with that. Like, there are certain elements that he has control, but he is not sculpting the offense. He's not in there picking the first 15 plays. He's not in there, you know, working on the cadence, for example. That's not under this particular head coach's purview. And I doubt very much it will be under Ulbrich's either.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But the fact of the matter is, all this proves to me, and I don't know what it'll help, and we'll see, maybe it will help. But it just furthers the idea that we were all wrong, or at least I was, when we thought that Aaron Rodgers could come here and solve all of the Jets' dysfunction. That he could come here and his play could rise them up to a level of winning whether it was Super Bowl bound, as some people suggested, AFC championship bound, as I suggested, or just a pretty good football team that would be at least, at the very least, competing for a playoff spot and a legitimate playoff team in this league. I thought we would have reached some level of competence with Aaron Rodgers that this kind of crap would have gone away. But yet, here we are, firing head coaches 5 weeks in. Here we are, still keeping an offensive coordinator who, no matter, in my opinion, whatever you think of Robert Saleh, has done a far worse job at his than Robert Saleh did as the head coach of the Jets. Like, maybe you can call me up, let me know, 888-808-1019. I know he's been on the job longer. I know some of the problems that still persist have been there longer. But with Aaron Rodgers, his companion, his buddy, the guy he's won MVPs with, the idea that this offense still looks like this, Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers have done their jobs this year worse than Robert Saleh has done his, in my estimation. Doesn't mean Robert Saleh was doing a good job. Doesn't even mean that Robert Saleh shouldn't have been fired. But what it speaks to me is that I don't know who's in charge of this team. In fact, I probably think it's Aaron Rodgers. I don't know the level that he's coordinating all of this. And Woody Johnson is either at the beck and call of his quarterback or just proved that he has no idea what he's doing yet again. And it's just so frustrating for a franchise that I thought was about to come out of this, who I really believed could be pulled out of this same old Jets. I don't think this was a great day for the New York Jets organization. I don't. Maybe it will be. Maybe it will be. I hope it is. But I just have a hard time thinking that Robert Saleh was the one anchor around their neck, and now all of a sudden they will be set free for sale. Like, I have a hard time believing it. And it's just more proof that, listen, the GM's probably on his way out. It feels like now the whole thing with the quarterback's not going to work. Like, it's just frustrating. It's just frustrating. And we're already having conversations about who should be the coach next year. Like, that's what it leads to, because that's where you are. Do you think Belichick would ever come and coach the Jets? Do you think Vrabel would come and coach the Jets? I mean, I appreciate the idea that Woody was at least decisive on this and that he didn't want to see this season fade away. And I also don't, you know, Fliegelman and I have been talking about this. Fliegelman's Mike's very persistent on this. Like, there's an idea out there that Robert Saleh was not hired by Woody Johnson. The timing of his hiring, you know, Woody was on his way out of his job in London, in England, as ambassador. And I think he absolutely was part of I think his brother hired one coach, and that was Gase. So he did fire a coach he brought in, a coach he believed in, a coach he gave five games to this season to turn around this team. And the one unit he leads has been a top 7 or 8 defense in this league. And the offense with the 40-year-old quarterback and his offensive coach, who they won MVPs together, have been abysmal. And yes, there have been too many penalties, and we've seen that forever, the entire tenure of Robert Saleh's coaching. And yes, they've gotten off to poor starts, and yes, they look completely unready to start every single game. It's been embarrassing. But no more embarrassing than today. No more proof of a firing out of the blue with stories about whether or not he's escorted out of the building by security, whether or not it's all just this, he was going to fire the offensive coordinator and the quarterback said, no, 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 you're fired. Like, all of it is just a freaking mess. And until they win, we are going to continue to go through this nonsense, and I don't know how they win now. Like, I know a lot of people. I saw Nick Costos, who I love Nick, and I think he does a great job. He's already talking about the idea that he loves to go out there and beat Buffalo and react. And sometimes we see it, the instant reaction to firing a coach. And I do appreciate the idea that this team and Woody Johnson, for all his faults, believe in this group and feel like he couldn't just sit there and do nothing. I get that. And in some ways, I do appreciate that, and maybe there'll be a turnaround. But I heard Evan today, that his initial thought was my initial thought. My initial thought is, what a freaking mess. What a mess. And I don't know how much it helps. I honestly don't. I don't know what it does 5 weeks in. If they would have done it in the off season, it could have changed everything. But if you're going to keep the same play caller, and now after reports that he was going to be dismissed of his duties, and now you replaced the head coach who was going to do it, and it feels like to keep him in his place. The quarterback is running the entire franchise. At least that's the perception. And perception is reality. So the Jets right now have an owner who nobody believes in his decision-making, a franchise that's 2-3 with one of the more talented rosters in the sport, looking at a game in Buffalo coming off two losses, or a game against Buffalo coming off two losses. A defensive coordinator now turned head coach, a crappy, miserable offensive coordinator still having his duties, a 40-year-old quarterback playing the worst football of his career while also being a pseudo GM/owner of the entire franchise. I mean, it doesn't get more dysfunctional than that.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.